Well, happy last day of unleavened bread, brethren. It's good to see everyone here, and I know many of you are with us through the webcast, so welcome to you as well. I hope that during these days of unleavened bread, we're learning a number of lessons. Let's turn over to John chapter 3. And as we go through these days of unleavened bread, and hopefully we're looking more at the sin that's in our lives and focusing on what we need to be doing to be overcoming. But I want us also to understand that it's not in us to want to obey God, as it says here in John chapter 3, verse 19. And it says this, Christ says, and this is the condemnation, meaning that it's a very strong disapproval, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness. It means they loved sin rather than light, rather than the truth, because their deeds were evil. They didn't want their deeds to be exposed. They didn't want their sins to be exposed, to be shown that they're wrong. It's uncomfortable for us to see who we are. But in John 12:46, he says, I have come as a light into the world. That's John 12:46. That whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And we know that word believe is an action word. And it says that if we've been called by God and we remain in him, we will not be able to abide in sin. As we learned at Passover, Jesus Christ is a sacrifice for our sins, the propitiation, the substitute for us, if we respond to this calling. So during the days of unleavened bread, we've learned that we are to have no leavened products in our homes, because that pictures sin. We know that leavening is a food additive to food that puffs up bread. It makes it rise. And so we have the analogies in the Bible that parallel to that, that we ourselves can be puffed up with sin, that we know everything. I don't need to change. I'm okay with who I am. Instead of reflecting on God and learning the lessons of pride and hypocrisy. We know that it's also compared with malice, in other words, wrong motives, and wickedness, breaking of God's law. And it's hard for us to overcome. We have the pulls of our nature, we have the pulls of Satan, and we have that stubbornness to overcome. Well, today I've titled the message, Show Us Your Ways. And I pulled that from Psalm 25. If you go into that psalm, and it's a short chapter, but in verse 4, it says, Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. You know, it's a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. It's about laboring in the Word of God, putting God first in our lives and seeking to be more like him. So today, let's look at some specific areas of sin in regards to these days of unleavened bread. And I picked out four. There's actually more than that. But I have 4 points in relation for us to overcome and to seek to get out the sin that is in our lives. And let's let God show us his ways. Let's have that attitude, that desire. God, show us. Show us your ways. I mean, we look before the days of unleavened bread, where we're looking for that sin. We see that sin, or that the leavening that represents sin. So when we look at leavening that represents sin, we have the bread on the counter, we've got the cookies over here. You know, that stuff easily to get out. We can see we need to get rid of that. But we also look at the nooks and crannies, don't we? The little hidden spaces where that leavening is in that we really didn't know it was there. It's like, wow, can't believe it's there. We look for those areas, those nooks and crannies. Question for us today is, are we doing that in our lives? Are we looking for the nook, looking in those areas, the hidden places? And do we want to get the sin out like we got the sin out before the days of unleavened bread? Let's turn over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, before we get into the 4 points. Most of these scriptures I have in my notes, so I won't be turning to every single one. But Matthew 13, verse 33, is a parable about the kingdom of God. And here it talks about leaven. Leaven. The parable of leaven in Matthew 13, verse 33. Here's a parable, another parable, right after he talks about the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures. She hid 3 measures of leaven, of meal, till it was all leavened. And I looked this up, and it was about 60 pounds of dough that was being made. And a little bit of leaven was hidden in there and fully mixed amongst all this dough. So it was all leavened. And that leaven, Christ is using here as an analogy, a parable of the kingdom of God. And it's a parable for us today that in the kingdom, when God opens people's eyes, Satan is gone, he's going to show people their sins. He's going to show people the impact of sin, of how devastating it is to people's lives and what it does. And show the history of what it has done to mankind. We've been called to know that now. God has opened our eyes to see what sin is in our lives. And we've experienced sin, and we know the impact in our lives. And we should want to get rid of it so we can have the right relationship with God and with each other. You know, we have, you go through and you hear of stories, and like the temple where we meet. You know, the temple there, they get rid of all the leavening out of the temple dirt before these days. So when we go into the temple, they've gotten rid of all the leavening. But when you sit, when you listen to them and what they do, they're going through the motions of getting rid of the leavening. But are they really wanting to see their sins? I mean, these are the Jews. You got different, you know, understandings or beliefs, what they believe, their philosophies, but you really don't see them putting out sin. They talk about certain things, but they don't put out sin. You can look at them and what they're doing. And we'll see why that is here in just a little bit. Because what comes to mind for me is like James 1:22. I'm not going to turn there, but it says to be not hearers only, but to be doers of the word. Because if we're not doers of the word, we're going to deceive ourselves. And if we deceive ourselves, God is going to harden our hearts to the truth, as we'll look at here in just a little bit. You know, there's also those who think they're repenting, and we can apply this to our lives, but they're really not repenting. They're really not hearing God's word. Oh, you hear them talk about God and praise Jesus Christ, and you know, that's pretty much what they talk about is God, accepting Christ and just accepting him as your Savior, and they do some things, but they're not fully obeying God. And they apply their practices into their lives. And that's what we don't want to be doing ourselves, brethren. Just let me read to you as a referral, Amos 5:23. Christ is saying, take away from me the noise of your songs. These are individuals who are going to God, praising God, but they're not doing what God says. And God says, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. So when they come before God, for his presence and their own thinking and what not wanting to put sin away and put on righteousness. God says, that is an abomination to me. And also Amos 8:10, he says, I will turn your feasts into mourning, your feasts, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. So God says he's going to bring mourning like you just lost your only son. These are warnings for us. So let's look at four quick points. I'm not going to elaborate too much on them. We've heard them before. But these are points that are referenced in the Bible during these days as well, not just during these days, but they're referenced during these days. I think it's something that we should look at and focus on ourselves. If we're asking God to show us his ways, it's also then for God to show us those sins in our lives, to get rid of them, and to use that sacrifice that was given to us at Passover. And we're in day four for the counting of the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That would come on to the New Testament church. We have that now so that we can be having the mind of Christ, the power of God, guiding us and directing us in what we need to be doing. So point number one is what we need to be coming out of is hypocrisy. And let's turn over to Matthew 16. Luke 12:1, as a reference, talks about, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's Luke 12, verse 1. But I want to pick it up over in Matthew 16. Verse 11, and we'll read 11 and 12. And Christ is saying, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? Okay, so here the disciples thought Jesus Christ was speaking about bread. Where is it? We didn't bring any bread. No, but he says to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So he's grouping these individuals together as a group. Verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was talking about their wrong teachings, their wrong motives. He was talking about their beliefs, their rituals were more important than God's. Hypocrisy. I pulled a couple of definitions. Hypocrisy is pretending to be something you're not. Pretending to be righteous, but you're a sham. You claim to have moral standards, but your behavior does not show it. So that's what we can be looking at in ourselves and understanding that our nature needs to overcome. And also hypocrisy is you practice the same thing that you accuse others of. And we see that. And when they accuse Jesus Christ of all these false accusations, and it actually was them. They couldn't see it. They didn't want to see it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, which we can apply to ourselves. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. Section of scripture here, and as before we read this, it's talking about not condemning, not judging other people. And we've been told to be like Christ. Christ did not come to condemn anyone. He came to teach God's way of life. And that's John 3:17. He didn't come to condemn, but he came to save, came to teach, to be an example, to set the way. And it's the same thing we need to be doing. So with hypocrisy, let's look at this area and see if we can be doing better in our lives. Pick it up in, Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. All right, so We know that. Question is, are we applying it? Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. So that's what we don't want to be doing, is condemning others for doing something that we see that they're doing wrong. God says, don't do that. There's another way. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. So don't hold back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with what same measure that you use it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. So here's the parable. Can the blind lead the blind? And the answer to that is no. God opens our eyes. Will they not both fall into the ditch? Yes, they will. Verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher. So we must be following our teacher, our Lord and Master. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. We want to be like Christ. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Why are we looking for that sin? Why are we condemning? Why are we judging, is what he's saying. But do not perceive the plank in your own eye. Our sins are more important for us to be focusing on than trying to pick out the sins of other people, is what he's saying. Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck, let me remove that sin in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank, the sins, which is much bigger, the focus should be on, that is in your own eye. Hypocrite, hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove that speck, to help our brother in humility, to be sincere, to be kind, to be gentle, to know when to even bring it up. That is in your brother's eye. You know, an example of being Christ-like can go very far. Number two, something that we can be looking at during these days, and what we should have been looking at, and what we can continue to be looking at moving forward from these days. It's a good reminder to be in these days. But the second point I have is it says, talks about a show of religion, but we're not teachable. Pretending to be religious. I have one scripture here. And it says, let's turn over to Mark chapter 8. Talks about to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Mark Mark 8:15. And he says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now you can go back to Matthew chapter 2, and it talks about Herod here. Matthew chapter 2, we'll see the attitude of Herod. We want to make sure that this attitude is not in us. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7, and then here we see that Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star appeared. Okay, he wanted to know where this babe was, this one that was going to be the king, all right? And what does he say? And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. That's not what he wanted to do. He was pretending to be wanting to obey God. Drop down to verse 12. Then, being divinely warned, these men in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way, because Herod wanted to kill Christ. When we are pretending religion and not putting it into practice, we too are denying Christ. We don't want anything to do with him. Something for us to focus on in our lives and what we're doing, that but we can do better. Point number three that I have down here, and I'm going to turn to John chapter 12 for this. Point number three is hearing the word of God, but not believing it. That is very dangerous as well. John chapter 12, let's pick it up in verse 35. John 12, verse 35. So Jesus Christ is talking about his death here. And he said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. I am the light." He says, "Walk while you have the light, while I'm here, lest darkness overtake you, lest Satan and sin and be consumed with that. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." He who walks in practicing sin does not know where they're going. "Well, you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from the people. Why? Well, verse 37, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him." They didn't believe in Christ. They didn't believe in who he was and what he could do and what he represented and what he was about. They heard, they saw, let's continue, "that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, 'He, God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes.'" See, God hardened because they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't hear the words of Christ and apply them in their lives. They wouldn't say, "I believe, but help my unbelief." Right? We hear that in Scripture. "I believe, but I need help to overcome. I need help to apply these ways. Lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." Right? And that's what we want to be going to God, to show us your ways, so that we can be healed. "These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him." So this is what Isaiah prophesied of what was going to happen. And let's drop down here and read a little bit more. Verse 42, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him." So we had many believe in him. Okay, they believe in him. All right, but then what happened? "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him." They listened to a man, "lest they should be put out of the synagogue." They didn't want to get kicked out of church. "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And then Jesus Christ says, verse 44, "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me.'" He's talking about the Father. "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So if you believe in me, we're not to remain in sin and being deceived. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But judgment is coming. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days." So there is a time of judgment, and we leave that to God. And we know that in the end times that many are going to come, and many Christs will come in Christ's name. And many will deceive. And we don't want to be deceived. For even the very elect could be deceived. So it is, unless we're obeying God and asking him to show us his ways, we too would be deceived. Point. Last point. Let's turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. It's adding to the truth. We don't want to add or delete from the Word of God. But here in Galatia, Paul is talking to the church and telling them, you are adding to what you just came out of. You're wanting to add it for eternal life. He says, you were once fine in the faith. Let's pick it up here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Free from the death penalty. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So we don't need to go back. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So they thought, you know, they were teaching circumcision again, a physical circumcision, which they had been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit and had a spiritual circumcision of because of Christ dying for our sins and God giving us his Holy Spirit. It says, Christ, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So by adding to our covenant, it's going to profit us nothing. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So it's also looking at the law, keeping the law to save us. And the law doesn't save us. Yes, those who follow God will keep the law, but it's not the law that saves us. The law shows us what sin is. And we know that Christ came to die for our sins. We need that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You have become estranged from Christ. In other words, you're going a different direction. You who attempted to be justified by law, you have fallen from God's favor. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. How? By faith. It's not in Judaism. It's not in practicing and going to these halls and following these rituals, thinking that is going to save us, that we're missing out in something. That those have to be applied in our lives. Paul's saying no. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision veils anything but faith through love, made possible only through God the Father and Jesus Christ. By being redeemed and being reconciled to God, have a relationship, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Verse 7, you ran well. You ran well. You were on the right track. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Why were you adding things? This is persuasion. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. It's not coming from God. It's coming from man. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Here he's talking to the church that they've been unleavened, and now they're allowing sin back in. And they need that sin. They need to overcome that sin. Because it leavens the whole body. It will destroy the whole body. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. So we'll have people pushing on us. That's between them and God. And brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? I'm not going along with the crowd. I'm teaching Christ, and I'm being persecuted for it. Then the offenses of the cross has ceased. I would wish that those who troubled you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We've been called to come out of sin. Not only do not use liberty as the opportunity for the flesh. We don't want to go back. But through love, serve one another. The love of God, the agape love, made possible through the sacrifice of Christ, made possible through the Holy Spirit. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And so if we don't follow God, if we're not looking to get sin out of our lives, if we're looking to add more than what God is saying that we should be adding to the understanding of God's word, he's not going to be with us. So the question for you and I, as we're in the days of unleavened bread, how do we go about getting these sins out of our lives? Because we can't just do it on our own. We can't just neglect God and think that we can do this on our own. No, Jesus Christ was resurrected during the days of unleavened bread. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, let me read it to you. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I've died with Christ. And that's what we've done at baptism for us. He says, nevertheless, I do live. But it's not I, he's saying. But it's Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we let God lead us. We let God guide us. Let God show us the way, and we follow. And they make their home with us. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So observing the days of unleavened bread reminds us that it is not our righteousness. It's not ours. It's nothing we can do that causes us to overcome sin, the sins in our lives. It's the righteousness that results from God living in us. So let's be laboring in God's word. Let's be asking God to show us his ways. Let's not kick him out of our lives by being prideful, of allowing leavening in our lives. Let's seek to overcome pride and be humble. Again, let's overcome the leaven of hypocrisy. Let's be teachable. Let's overcome our motives and believe and put that belief into action. And let's not add to the truth thinking that will get us eternal life. Let's turn over to one last set of scripture. And Paul, I believe, wraps this up pretty well, actually very well, in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We'll read verses 24 through 29. Let's hear what Paul is saying here. Colossians 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings. And he says for you and I, for the brethren that he was serving, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church. He's seeking God and asking for guidance and direction and help to overcome, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. And that's for us as well, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. It's been revealed to us, brethren. What a wonderful calling. What a wonderful opportunity to understand God's holy day plan, the plan of salvation. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ and God the Father in us. The hope of glory. Him we preach. And that's what we do too. And putting sin out of our lives and replacing it with righteousness, with God's help. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And that's what we do. We encourage each other. So in verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Brethren, Let's make sure we're doing the same.